Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Hey everybody, welcome.
Welcome.
It's recording day.
Woo, boop, boop.
Franny, what's new?
You know what I've been watching?
Oh no.
It's never good. It's never good. I mean, it's always dark as fuck. But I watch the documentary called Scouts Honor, which is about Boy Scouts being, remember, they're being sexually abused.
Stop it.
No, wait a minute. This is what blew my mind. I thought that there nothing could surpass like religion. Boy Scouts to date, 82,000 victims have come forward and said they've been
molested.
Abused and
not by drag queens, but by Boy Scout leaders.
By Boy Scout leaders.
I just wanted to, because in South Dakota, you never know what drag queens are going to do. Oh, unleash holy hell on our youth.
Yeah, they might read to children.
They might read a book. It's just terrible. It's awful. Oh, that's, I'm going to have to watch it now, of course.
Yeah, it was fascinating and really disturbing. Actually, a whistleblower came forth and it was just fascinating to hear what he had to say. Yeah, so.
So,
but you know what? Oh, when you're sending your kids to do sleepovers, right? Ugh. Like, I didn't even want to do that with my neighbors, let alone some good dude I don't know, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense. To me, it's like, even though they say it's safe now, how can it be safe unless your ass is in the tent with your kid?
Oh, absolutely. You can't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. Friends, family, nothing. So that's your takeaway, listeners.
Yes. Yeah, so feel good about today.
No, wait a minute. This is what I watched last night.
Oh, is it darker?
Have you seen Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
Okay. It was the episode where they do the open mic night at the apothecary. Mm. And he's just like, I can't believe my boyfriend's going to get up there and sing. It's just going to be embarrassing. And then it's like, oh, just beautiful. I get goosebumps. I get teary eyed every time I see that episode.
I've got to watch that again.
It's so beautiful. It's just.
Because he's so talented, you mean?
Oh, yeah. It's just, you get goosebumps listening to him sing.
Kind of like I felt when Brody walked up singing today right before the podcast. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
Or I think Brody and I also get a very physical reaction when you sing. It's not goosebumps. What's going on in the Mueller household?
Not a lot. I'm watching, still in Star Wars world, because Ahsoka's still going on, so enjoying that. But I also picked up Invasion on Apple Plus.
Okay.
Which is, it's a slow burn through the first season, but by episode six of the first season, it's very much a drama set in the apocalypse. I mean, there's
shit like that. I would much rather watch
the second season.
Boy Scouts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, second season gets way more into the aliens and all that type of stuff. So,
oh my goodness.
But yeah,
I'm gonna do not even a low key brag. A little Gracie Boo, Schwann Financial Premier Player of the Week.
Hey, congratulations. That's so awesome. Just killing it.
You guys, they're having a phenomenal season, and I'm so proud of these girls. I have never, and I've had other adults in their lives say this too, we've never seen a group of girls support each other, lift each other up. There's not a lot of ego on the team. It doesn't matter how many kills, how many digs, whatever somebody gets, they want the W.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's, I'm just talking about it. They do. They lift each other up. Saturday when we went to five sets against Yankton, we were missing one of our middles, outside hitters. I'm really bad when it comes to positions because she had to be out of town for something and it just threw everything off. I mean, everybody played hard, but they're just such a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. And they rely on each other.
So we beat Huron for the first time in 5 years and we beat O'Gorman. And those are two of our biggest rivals.
Awesome. And
yeah. To see that in my high school sports lifetime. Mm-hmm. Because they were rivals when my older two kids were in high school. So I just felt
that's awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
She was also featured or interviewed by Dave Vilhauer for his South Dakota sports team podcast.
That's awesome.
We have to give a shout out to Dave and his crew. They do a great job covering all the sports basically in all of South Dakota. I don't know how he does it, but he does such a great job. He and his staff.
Sure do.
Awesome. South Dakota sports scene. I've listened to the first episode of his podcast, but I haven't had time to go back and listen to any more. Yep, so I can't wait to do that.
Nice little quick bites, probably 20 minutes, half hour, and he doesn't ramble on like y'all do.
Like we do, right.
But yeah, he does a great job.
Are we rambling?
Like you all do.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Whatever. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about using therapy as a weapon.
Not that anybody would.
No, of course not.
But if they did. We're going to tell you more about it.
For sure.
For sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
So, according to research, PTSD affects about 50 to 75% of female victims of intimate partner violence. Emotional abuse involves the use of someone's emotions against them by evoking shame, guilt, humiliation, and similar negative feelings. The emotional and psychological trauma of any kind of abuse can then cause long-term effects, including PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, in the form of complex PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Which is repeated and lengthy and prolonged exposure to it. So everybody's been talking about these texts between. This breaks my heart because I loved the documentary that Jonah Hill did with his therapist.
Yes.
And now I feel it was all a lie.
Oh, gosh.
But the text between Jonah Hill and his now ex-girlfriend, Sarah Brady, which she posted online.
Right. And so we had talked previously about the documentary, which was called Stutz, because his therapist is Phil Stutz. And so Jonah had directed a Netflix documentary about their special relationships, and it was moving and it was beautiful. And I was like pushing it, promoting it.
And I felt bad for Jonah because, you know, he was so like made fun of for weight and different things, but I don't know. He might just be an a-hole. I don't know him personally. Haven't had that privilege.
What do you think Stutz is saying right now? He's like,
I don't know.
Dude, what the hell?
Seriously. Yeah. Okay. Twice a week, Jonah. Twice a week.
Exactly.
The argument is that domestic abusers can use lingo, jargon, or tools from therapy to manipulate and control their partners. And it's not just men doing this. Women can do it too. Or it can be between any two individuals, regardless of what their relationship might be.
And, you know, a thought just occurred to me, because here's another thing. Not only do people use the lingo and the jargon and all of that, I feel they even use going to therapy as a form of a weapon or manipulation. Yeah. Like, for example, you have a shitty ass relationship for years and years and years and years, and the person is, let's say, either abusive or using substances or both or whatever. And you are finally at a place where you're going to divorce their ass. All of a sudden, I have made an appointment with a therapist.
Yeah.
And then you think about, okay, wait a minute. Is this legit? Is it truly legit? Or are you using this to like give that person one more hope that change is going to happen and suck them back in?
Okay. Or I know. Oh, go ahead.
Well, so what are these texts?
We're going to get into those.
Okay. We are reading them. So here it is. So here's a couple of the texts that Jonah allegedly sent to Sarah. Okay, this is from him. Plain and simple. If you need surfing with men, boundaryless inappropriate friendships with men, to model, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places, and from your wild recent past beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful. I am not the right partner for you if these things bring you to a place of happiness. I support it and there will be no hard feelings. These are my boundaries for a romantic partnership. Then later on in the next text, he says, if you want marriage and family, you can't use the 25 card. I'm guessing age 25. Step up and cut shit. These people don't get your time and your kindness at the sacrifice of mine. She puts in quotes, these people, he meant, are friends of mine that he has not personally approved of.
Well, I love it too, where he goes, I respect your love of surfing, but I respect myself as well. And your love of surfing and being in those situations and lack of awareness are not mutually exclusive. What?
What does that even mean?
Yeah, you can't surf and be in a relationship. That's what I read it to mean. Because I think if you're surfing, then you're in a swimsuit. Gasp.
Well, you could be in a wetsuit and
yeah,
whatever. I don't know.
That Brody, could still be sexual. Brody, I don't know.
Look at Brody's eyebrows. They're yeah, just raising. Like, can you ever imagine sending this to your wife?
And her not smacking you up alongside the head the next time she sees you. Not that we're not proponents of that.
Yeah, it does read a little, defensive's not the right word, protective, or yeah, he's certainly setting his boundaries, which I guess he has the right to do, but controlling maybe is.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them appropriate boundaries. Like, he can have them, but I wouldn't call them appropriate. What do you think?
I don't think that's a boundary at all. I think the person that's setting the boundary or should be in a relationship like this is the victim, not the perpetrator.
Right.
I think he's misusing that term to basically, again, using terminology to manipulate. This is my boundary. No, it isn't. You're a controlling asshole. You are saying you do these things and we get married. You want to get married. You want to have kids. Here's the rules.
Here's
but the
what
rules
you can do.
Are my, quote, boundaries, right?
Yeah. So he's just throwing out the lingo.
That's my interpretation.
No, I don't disagree with you either. And I've seen women, though, like, you know, Brody, you've got D&D night every now and again, right? And I've seen women go, oh, are you going to go play with your little friends tonight? Is that what you're going to do? Oh, good for you. I'm glad you're getting some boy time. How's your man crush going? How's the bromance?
Ooh.
So saying I support it, but making you feel scummy for doing it. So I've seen it go both ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is emotionally abusive in a very sort of passive aggressive, nasty ass kind of way.
Yeah. I support you, but my actions don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so the question was, is his behavior controlling and or emotionally abusive? Does it go that far? And it's hard to tell based on two texts. I only picked two out of the whole thing.
I mean, if this is accurate and an accurate representation, and we don't know if it is or not, but if it is, I would say yes, it's controlling and emotionally abusive. I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't sound fun to be around. I mean, so that's part of it. And I don't know, being under the microscope like they are, maybe things are I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. So how did he weaponize therapy then?
Well, I don't know that he's using the skills that Stutz taught him.
Like this, setting boundaries is important.
Right. Setting boundaries. But he's
every therapist says that.
Switching up the context and using it in an entirely different way.
Gotcha.
That is not how I would teach someone to establish a boundary. The way I would establish a boundary is, let's say, for example, like in Becky's example, this woman is speaking to you like that. The boundary would be, I feel like you're sending me mixed messages and I feel very uncomfortable when you demean my time with my friends. Please stop doing that. That's my boundary. Please stop doing that. It's not, if you don't do that, this was like a couch threat. If you don't follow my rules, we're not going to do any of the things you want.
So he's calling rules boundaries.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you completely. Yeah,
I don't know.
And like I said, I've seen it both ways. I've seen, and I know you guys have, I know you have too. I can't say you guys because you've never done therapy. But where people have said, I mean, I've had people come up to me like, oh, it hasn't happened in a while, but so-and-so comes to see you for therapy. And they said that you told them in therapy, like, you should adopt a chimpanzee or, you know, just something ludicrous.
Right, yes.
So first of all, it's always fun because you can neither confirm nor deny that person's in therapy.
Right.
But I'm always like, that's not a standard therapy practice, so that'd be weird, but...
Yeah, and that happens a lot where they are... let's say they go to therapy, right? And then they come home and they say, my therapist said that you're the one that is, I don't even need to be in therapy. You're the one that needs to be in therapy. That would be another way to weaponize it.
Or when you're doing couples therapy and then they come back the next time and one of them is like, well, you said that this is supposed to, whatever, like they're supposed to have sex with me 3 times a day, every day. And you're sitting there going, whoa, what out of last session did you get that? That's weird.
So then, I mean, we all loved the show, but this reminds me of Shrinking then, right? Like,
I haven't watched that. Yeah, I mean, I've watched a few episodes, but not all of it.
Oh, really?
God,
yeah. Well, even just the, I mean, stuff that happened in the first couple episodes, right? Like, he's telling people, you should go leave your husband.
Right,
And I don't know, it's tricky.
Well, that is a... entire exaggeration of what maybe we all secretly wish we could do in therapy. And he's just basically saying...
I'm sure there are some that do.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But he's just basically taking all the rules out of therapy and like, hey, let's hop in my car and let's go do such and such. There's yeah. a, hey, why don't you move in with me? I mean, it's so far exaggerated.
It's Dr. Phil as a therapist.
Even, yeah.
What's therapy like? I love Dr. Phil. It's not that.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think Dr. Phil is real?
No.
No?
No.
It's all staged?
Yes.
Really?
You don't think so?
Cash me outside. How about that? That was, he made himself a meme.
What?
He did?
There was somebody from South Dakota that was on there and I was reading an article about it and I can't remember what it was, but they talked about how the producers were like, okay, this is what we're going to say. And they were like, but that's not what happened. Yeah. Mm. You're on the show. This is what we're going to say.
Oh.
Yeah. So it is not real.
Interesting. I used to watch it like. Not religiously, but I used to watch it quite a bit.
He just made my skin crawl.
But, I mean, it's good drama.
Oh, yeah.
But that apparently is all it is.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, so if your partner is abusive in any way, is it a negative thing for them to go to therapy?
No, I don't think therapy is ever a negative thing. It's how are they going to, what are they going to do with it?
Right.
And as a therapist, you don't know what happens with what, you know, you have what happens in session, but you don't ever have control over where it goes.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Can they use therapy against you? Absolutely. And they do.
Oh, and the way also they can use therapy against you is that, like, let's say, for example, a woman and man are in marital therapy or whatever, and she decides after all the therapy, I'm going to divorce his ass. I'm done with him, right? They can go after you as the therapist as well. They can report you to your ethics board. They can sue you. I mean, it can put you in a precarious situation if they are very angry and bitter about the outcome.
Over stuff you probably never said.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Or just because they don't like the outcome of what happened.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, or you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it KCREP approved?
It is KCREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Oh. So that's a good example. And so if therapy can be used against you, why would we tell anybody to go to therapy?
Well, research in cognitive behavioral therapy with family and intimate partner violence has shown it to be statistic, research-wise.
I agree. And the purpose of individual cognitive behavioral therapy is to discover and change the perpetrator's beliefs, thoughts, and/or behaviors in order to stop violence. And I'm a firm believer. I do think there's perpetrators out there that want to change.
I
think
too.
They want to grow, and I think they want to do better. And so the focus on therapy is on the perpetrator's background, current experiences, thoughts, and behavior. Anger control, problem solving, social skills training are all commonly used by therapists treating perpetrators individually. And of course, there must be a willingness to enter therapy for this to work for perpetrators.
Right. So the problem is, though, normally these people are not like standing in line to go to therapy.
Right.
Right. They have to be court ordered or there's a threat. Maybe the relationship is going to end or something like
and
that.
And even if they're forced to go into it, I always say at least they're there.
Right.
You have an opportunity.
Right.
To maybe, you know, use motivational interviewing to elicit change talk or whatever. And maybe there will be a buy-in. But there are several types of therapy out there that have the common goal of reducing or eliminating violence.
Right. Yeah.
You're just skipping around. Okay.
No, it's you again.
Well, no, I said this. What kind of therapy is available?
There's several. Well, then it's all me. Brody, edit.
No, we no, no, we're leaving, no, we're leaving that in.
Far.
We're leaving
okay,
it in.
Okay, that's all Fran. It's Fran. Okay, so generally in treating people involved in intimate partner violence, one of three forms of therapy are used. You're either going to do individual therapy, and that can be with both partners at the same time, but not together, or group treatment, or couples therapy.
And all interventions emphasize the importance of the survivor's safety and the perpetrator's willingness to accept responsibility for the violence and want to better control this behavior.
And this is paramount because so many times, you know, when we think of safety, we only think about physical safety.
Right.
Right. We're not really thinking, well, if he's calling you names and he's demeaning you and he's checking your phone and he's hiding your money and, you know, all of these things, though, that's emotional safety. Right.
And I've always said, and I think you've said it too, that physical abuse is almost easier to recover from than emotional abuse because that shit sticks with you. Those words, you can be out of the relationship for years, and those words are still playing on a loop in your head sometimes.
Okay, I'm terrible with names. Is it Anna Kendrick? Okay, is that, did I get that right?
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah. Like, Anna Kendrick.
From Pitch Perfect?
Like yes. Twilight, Anna Kendrick?
Oh, yeah, she was in Twilight.
She was in Twilight? Uh-huh. What? What was she in Twilight?
I don't know, she was in it.
She was a vampire?
She sings... No. The cups, I don't know. She sings the sang cup in song, Twilight? Though, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
She wasn't in Twilight.
Yes, she was.
Really? All right. We're looking it up. But anyway, she was just in a movie where she is the victim of emotional abuse. What's it called? Anna something. You got to look it up,
right? No, I'm looking it up right now. I'll go to her IMDb.
Okay.
Because I need to know if she truly was in Twilight.
She was. Okay.
I don't, what was she? Was she a werewolf? What was she?
I don't know.
She was not.
I've never seen it. I just
You
know
haven't
that
seen Twilight?
No.
Even I have seen Twilight.
Was it Alice Darling?
Yes. Okay. That's the recent movie where she is. Yeah.
Pitch Perfect. I loved her in Pitch Perfect so much.
Yeah.
I love, especially the first one was my favorite one. I could listen to that all day long. Oh, she does sing the song Cups. Thank you very much. And she was in the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn.
What? Doing what?
She was Jessica, whoever that is.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, whatever. So do I recommend watching it? Yeah, I think there are.
Do you need to put a trigger warning on it maybe? Though?
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, for some people it can be a trigger.
Yeah, I can see that. Sorry, I slapped my phone down there.
No, you are fine.
A young woman trapped in an abusive relationship becomes the unwitting participant in an intervention staged by her two closest friends. I have seen the trailer for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And you did watch it?
I did.
And it was good?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
In addition to individual cognitive behavior therapy for the perpetrator, individual therapy for the survivor of intimate partner violence is also available, and I would highly recommend it.
Right. So therapy for the survivor may be conducted, like I said, at the same time that the perpetrator is getting therapy. And, you know, the biggest thing that breaks my heart is the person that's waiting for the other person to change, right? Yeah. How many years have they spent waiting?
I've seen 30, 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, should
I mean, that's some patience. Let's be real. That could take some patience. I would be 30, 40 minutes, but yeah.
You would not. But I mean, where's the cutoff? Should there be like a universal cutoff? Like after you have this many years, you're done.
I would say that'd be okay.
I don't know.
I could get behind that.
Okay.
Choosing to treat both the perpetrator and the survivor or only one partner depends on the individual therapist training and willingness of each partner to be treated. And sometimes it's not in the best interest of the victim. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think couples therapy before each of them have done any work can really be that's when it can be used against them, used against the victim. I don't think, because also think about a woman whose safety or a man whose safety is jeopardized. They're not going to bring it up in front of their partner,
exactly.
Right? So it's like you have to really be careful with that. And if you are going to do it, giving them time alone to talk to you. Mm-hmm. But even with that, then it's like they get in the car. What did you say about me?
Yeah.
You know, and what did she say to you? And blah, blah, blah. And it's.
And that's where we educate our clients and say, you know, you don't have to tell anybody what we talk about. This is your hour, your time, your information. you don't have to report back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But easier said than done in a relationship like that.
Yeah. So tell me about a time. Well, you don't tell me about a time, but have you ever had a client, and I already know the answer to this, try to manipulate you as the therapist?
Never. It's never happened.
What do you do when that happens? Like, does it drive you bananas? I always go like, oh, it's game on. Let's do this.
You know, for me, because your brain operates way faster than mine does. Mm-hmm. It takes me a hot minute to be okay. Like, oh, I get it now. I get the game we're playing. And then sometimes I'll make a joke about it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's a fun game.
It's something, that's yeah, for sure.
But then again, I like it because it shows me what the people they're living with have yeah. to experience. It's yep. like a window to their soul, and so to speak.
I think you and I both call it out when we see it. We're mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, so that's what you want to do. How does that generally work for you?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Right. So individual therapy for the survivor attempts to correct the emotional damage created by the violence or emotional abuse mm-hmm. and to empower the survivor, enabling them to make sound decisions. And this sounds so simple, like make a decision, but they haven't trusted their own decision making for a long time.
Right. And they've also been a lot of times told that they're stupid and inept and are not going to make it
right.
without whoever's with them.
And yeah. no one will love you the way I do, baby. Right. So they have to make good decisions about their safety and well-being.
And as a therapist, I mean, every single time I have somebody that's being abused, whether it's emotionally or physically, I have to say, I have information on our local shelter. Is it safe for you to have it? Because mm-hmm. sometimes it's not even safe for them to have it in their house. Mm-hmm. And they'll say no. And then, you know, maybe we put the phone number in their phone under something else so that they at least have the shelter number. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can be abused just from having the info.
Yeah.
Often cognitive behavioral approaches are employed to reduce anxiety and depression, to address the PTSD symptoms, and to increase and maintain self-esteem, to promote empowerment. I love that part. And develop strengthen assertiveness and problem-solving skills.
Okay, so see how my brain is slow? There is a book called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Mm-hmm. It is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Highly recommend it. It's a bunch of vignettes where she's working with different clients of hers. And one of them is this narcissistic guy. Mm-hmm. And the shit he pulls in therapy, you know, like coming there, bringing his... just pushing every limit you could possibly, like taking work calls in the middle of therapy or whatever. And it's like, this again is a window into what everyone has to deal with this person.
It really is.
And they feel it's perfectly fine.
Yep.
Yeah. So group cognitive behavioral therapy is typically how treatment for the perpetrator is administered when it's court ordered. And I think this is great because the support of other perpetrators in the group, they're sharing their own experiences. They're calling each other out on their bullshit. And they are getting the perpetrator to maybe for the first time to look at their social mores and question them. Like, for example, the thought that women are here to serve me, women are stupider than me, women mm-hmm. are the only ones that know how to do laundry, like really looking at those social mm-hmm. mores and questioning them. And I'm using women, but it could be the other way, like men are supposed to take care of everything mm-hmm. and bring in all the money or whatever it is.
It might be. Yeah. A main goal is for perpetrators to begin taking responsibility for their use of violence.
So a specific treatment developed to help veterans also focuses on how the trauma of the service member experience can impact their intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. And we had a podcast about this.
We did. We did an episode on it.
We did with Dr. Rosalie Ball, which was awesome. Highly recommend listening to that. And she goes into that kind of couples therapy a bit.
Yeah. And when we talk about couples therapy, the cognitive behavioral models of human behavior have also been used to design couples therapy programs to eliminate intimate partner violence. There's a couple of really good books by the Becks, mm-hmm. Aaron and Judith Beck out there for couples.
Right. Couples therapy is also meant to help you reduce the amount of conflicts that you're having and really looking at like, what's the pattern of your conflict? What is your typical dance that you do mm-hmm. and how do we resolve it in a healthier way?
And just being self-aware of mm-hmm. that is a huge step. Often individual therapy with the perpetrator concurrently or before couples therapy is employed to address issues of responsibility and anger management.
Yeah, because haven't you ever been in a session where like somebody's getting angry and like mm-hmm. really angry and you're like, okay, where's my door? And is anybody hearing this up front?
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's scary sometimes.
Yep. Yeah, it really is.
So what is the best method of treatment for intimate partner violence? Because cognitive behavioral therapy is short-term and goal-oriented and emphasizes problem solving, many find it especially useful for many of the problems. So I would highly recommend, like we talk mm-hmm. about a lot, look at the therapist. Mm-hmm. What is their training? What is their licensure? Do they know how to do CBT? That kind of thing.
Yep. It's important to make sure that the form of therapy you're considering includes the following things. Methods to help the perpetrator take responsibility for their behavior. And this doesn't mean you're blaming them. It's them saying, you know what, I didn't handle that correctly and I could handle it better. So this isn't to make the perpetrator feel like an a-hole. It really isn't. Because that's going to be counterproductive. But take responsibility, some anger management, and some non-violent ways of disagreeing and resolving problems with your partner.
You mean they can't say, if you didn't piss me off, I wouldn't have hit you?
Yeah.
They can't say that.
Well, you can.
You can. But that would not be taking responsibility for your behavior.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty not. And yeah. Okay. And then what about like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Oh, you know how I feel about that apology. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful one.
So those are the things that are utilized in intimate partner mm-hmm. violence where it's skirting around taking responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things a cognitive behavioral therapist might call out or, yep. So let's rephrase that.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that you chose to do and mm-hmm. that what the other person did is not your business. Mm-hmm. Your behavior is your business.
Yep. And that's a hard thing to learn for all of us sometimes mm-hmm. in one way or another.
Yeah. Therapy should also help the abused partner become empowered to set, boundaries. Mm-hmm. They get to set the boundaries.
Yes.
So above all else, choose therapist employing treatment programs that are addressing safety and helping you monitor that because it's usually not the victim that's blowing past the boundaries, right? So for example, let's say they're living in separate homes and you tell that person, when you come over to my house and you're starting to get angry and I feel unsafe, mm-hmm. my boundary is I'm going to ask you to leave and you're going to leave. You're going to agree to that. And then what happens mm-hmm. when they're asked to leave?
Yep.
That boundary was never made.
Because I always like to be devil's advocate too, where I have seen, we're going to do stereotypical. So the man's got the anger issue mm-hmm. and they're coming to couples therapy. And then you find out that sometimes the partner is going, oh, aren't you the real man now, huh? Can you mm-hmm. handle things like a real man and just like poking the bear?
Ooh.
And you're like, no, like yes. Here's somebody who's trying to do better.
Yeah.
And that usually comes from a place of resentment. Like mm-hmm. they're still feeling resentment over everything that's happened. And so they now have some power in the relationship, but not using it appropriately either.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now knowing, like, now that we've read Jonah Hill's text, if they're his text, but just knowing more to the story, how will that impact anything in terms of will you watch what he has out there? Will it impact anything?
Oh, I will. It impacts me. Yeah. It colors my perception a little bit. But I also think it goes back to you really don't know anybody, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can know some people fairly well, but especially celebrity status. Mm-hmm. Like you really feel like you know them and then you find out that actually they never tip and they're huge dicks every time they go out. And you're yeah. like, oh, wah, wah.
I mean, is it gross? Yeah. Like I wouldn't want that in my relationship. Is it going to stop me from watching Superbad? No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have a little bit harder time with like Kevin Spacey or Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yep. This like, I mean, he was being a dick, that's for sure. And yeah. I assume they broke up.
I think so. I don't think they've been back together.
Yeah. She broke up at the end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then he got what was coming for him at that point. But so is that enough for me to cancel him? No. But I have a harder time with sexual abuse type stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So fair. I'm going to cancel him. And here's why. Well, one was, did you see him in Don't Look Up? Remember that role in Don't Look Up where he's the son, the entitled son of the president who's Meryl Streep.
Oh my God.
Anyway, he played that role so well. I was thinking in my head, he's not playing a role. This is him. And I know we as humans, we always like to prioritize bad things, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I stole from you, but that's not as bad as like stealing from a company, which isn't as bad as murder. We prioritize things. We do that with abuse too. Like sexual abuse is way worse than emotional abuse. But is it? Like for each person, we can't measure the damage that it's caused, right?
I would agree.
That's fair.
And so it's like, to me, abuse is abuse, dude. It's like if you want to be out there, and maybe that's wrong, maybe we shouldn't expect more, but either way, I don't have to give him my money.
No. And you know, we can hope that he's learned from this and we can hope that he's back in therapy and learning better ways to do this.
Right.
And that Stutz said, dude, that was dick.
Right.
That was a dick move.
Yeah, he was like, that's not, let's go back to boundaries. Let's write that little, whatever. Remember he used to write all those little cards or whatever.
Oh my goodness. So what are our sources for this?
So sources are Fran and Becky's Brains, which God is help a you all. Terrifying place to be.
Oh, and the Association for Behavioral and Cognitive Therapies.
We're the Shrinks.
And that's a wrap.